Buck 92.3, where country legends live, and Buck92.com. Welcome to Central Michigan's award-winning sports destination, the Buck 92.3 Sports Show, winner of Best Podcast from the Michigan Association of Broadcasters. This is your home for everything local, everything competitive, and everything that matters in Central Michigan sports. From Friday Night Lights to hardwood battles, from high school standouts to the stories behind the teams, you're getting the best sports coverage anywhere. Now, welcome to what many call the best sports show ever for Central Michigan high school athletes. All Things Sports with your host, JW, and Buck 92.3 Sports Director, Austin Shattuck. Let's dive in.
Hey, Jeremy, do you know what day it is today?
It is Monday.
It is Monday, but it's also the first day of my birthday month. So what I'm expecting from you on June 20th is a birthday present. Can we make that work on June 20th?
Yeah, come to the Tigers game and I'll buy you a beer because I'll be at the Tigers game. So if you want to come to the Tigers game with us, I'll buy you a beer. What the heck?
We'll make that work. 22nd birthday on June 20th, but that's what I'm expecting on June 20th. But tonight, what people are expecting from us is the Buck 92.3 Sports Show to be highly entertaining, and we plan to do that. So without further ado, let's kick off the month of June with the Buck 92.3 Sports Show, powered by the Saginaw Chippewa Indian Tribe, working together for our future. And man, Jeremy, since we last talked on last Monday night, there's been a lot that's gone around in this area, specifically with the playoffs, districts.
Yeah, district, so, baseball, softball, all kinds of stuff is happening.
Yeah, so let's just start point blank with districts. I mean, I can roll through each team, starting with some of the Division I teams, Mount Pleasant.
Yeah, you posted it on Buck Facebook page, so
and
thanks
the website
for doing that. Yeah, thanks for doing that, so a lot of people can see. I let everyone know during the morning show, during my sports broadcast that I have to do, keep up to date with our Buck 92 Facebook page. Austin's been doing an awesome job with that, so yeah. Thanks for doing that and just getting the information out to everybody.
Yeah, we're on not only Facebook, which is booming, we're also on our website, and we're also on Instagram, newly created by myself a couple of months ago, just because I know some of the athletes around here don't probably have Facebook. So
no, I'm old school, and I don't use Instagram. I have it, but I don't know how to use it.
Well, I can help you out if you ever need a tutorial
on
that.
That's what we can do. Maybe we'll do a sports show on how to learn how to do Instagram.
I'll talk for a whole 20 minutes on how to do Instagram.
Yeah.
No, I don't think the people would like that. So we'll stick with sports, and especially Mount Pleasant baseball. They fell to Midland High, but they beat Midland Dow on the pre-district last Tuesday. Mount Pleasant softball, they fell to Midland High. Congrats to Coach Eppel and Coach Davis on great seasons. But, you know, D1 baseball and softball is a little bit harder than Division 4, Division 3, maybe even Division 2. So tough seasons, tough district rounds, but great seasons overall. Sacred Heart baseball jumping to D4. They beat Beale City in an absolute pitcher's duel, 2-1, just a couple weekends, couple days ago down in Coleman. Sacred Heart softball lost to Beale City, but they did end up beating Montebella to advance to the district championship. Beale City baseball, they lost to Sacred Heart like in a classic, like I mentioned, and Beale softball, they advanced and they won another district title with first-year head coach, Coach Liz, and they are going to be going down to Eppel Fields, I believe it is.
Yeah, right? Right here in Mount Pleasant.
Saturday.
Over by the water treatment facility over off of Broadway is what the map says. I could be wrong. If we are, let us know on Facebook or whatever, and we'll figure out where we're going.
Yeah, because that's where we are going on Saturday. First pitch is scheduled for 10 a.m., and of course, if Beale City beats Fowler, they will play at the championship at 2 o'clock. Saturday afternoon. So a lot of ifs, but we will be covering two games this week. Sacred Heart baseball against Holton, or oh my gosh, I'm drawing a blank on some of the teams, but the schedule is out on there on our website on Wednesday at 5 o'clock, first pitch for the Sacred Heart baseball team. And then Beale City is playing on Saturday at 10 a.m. So two games this week, one softball, one baseball for us. Clare baseball lost to Big Rapids in the district championship game, but they did end up having a great performance against Chip Hills in the district semifinal. And that's the same with Clare softball. They lost to Ogemaw Heights in the championship game. And then to round everything out, Shepherd baseball, they won their pre-district qualifier game on Tuesday, but they fell to Gladwin in the semis. And then Shepherd softball. Congratulations to Coach Loonsfoot. They are moving on, traveling north of the border to go up to Sault Ste. Marie for the Division II regionals. And I can't remember who they're playing off exactly, but they beat Bullet Creek in the championship game, district championship game, and they beat Chip Hills as well. So a great performance by the Shepherd softball team and Coach Loonsfoot. Three teams moving on to regionals, Jeremy, and they all had great seasons, though, all 10 of them.
Yeah, there's been a lot of good softball and baseball action going on here in Gratiot and Isabella, because, you know, Ithaca come up and played Sacred Heart went down there and played them a couple weeks ago.
Softball,
and,
yeah.
Yeah, so just some great athletes all around Gratiot, Isabella counties. It's awesome to see.
Yeah, and we'll have another great athlete, not in this Isabella County area, but down in DeWitt. He'll be on for our back half of the show a little bit later on. But before we get to Trav Moore for DeWitt coming on to our show, let's talk a little bit more about Tigers. I know they're the only sport going on right now. And Jeremy, I know you're sighing over there about even mentioning the Tigers. Yeah. Why is that?
They're not very good right now. It reminds me of back in the early 2000s when they weren't very good and they lost like 119 games or something like that back in the 2000s. They lost a bunch the one year, and but it's, I don't know. I don't know what's going on with them. Finally, I have a friend. His name's Jesse. He's a big baseball, basketball fan.
Like me?
Yeah, and he's just been saying for the last year and a half, we need to get rid of Hinch, need to get rid of Hinch, need to get rid of Hinch. And now everyone's talking need to get rid of Hinch because... Yeah. Yes, injuries cause, you know, a lot of this, but some of this stuff that Hinch is doing just doesn't make sense. Like taking people out, mm-hmm. you know, taking pitchers out early, and then all of a sudden, you know, and everyone in the state of Michigan knows that the Tigers bullpen is awful.
Yeah.
So let's take someone that's pitching good, like last night.
Cater Montero. Yeah.
Yeah. Pitching good, went six innings, struck out four, gave up two hits. No runs, take him out, and then the bullpen comes in and just ruins it again.
Yeah, and mind you, Montero only had like 65 pitches in six innings. So his arm is fully capable of going another inning or
so. He could have won a whole game.
Yeah.
He could have won a whole game.
And Hinch took him out.
Yeah, and Hinch took him out.
And they blew the lead.
Yeah, and that's happened multiple times this year. Yeah. And it's like, come on now, let's get rid of the analytics, get rid of the paper, and just go back to basic fundamentals of baseball.
Yeah, focus on what's happening in front of you instead of on that piece of paper that has all the stats and statistics on it.
Yeah, and that's what he's got to get rid of. He's got to get rid of the analytics and just go back to playing backyard baseball.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, what surprises me, Jeremy, is the fact that what gets me the most, honestly, is the fact that the Tigers were actually a legitimate team in the first half of the season last year, and which makes me think and makes me wonder if maybe the first half of the season last year was actually the fluke.
Yeah.
Because now, the back half of last year, into the playoffs where they fell to the Mariners, they had a deeper playoff run, but they fell to the Mariners, their offense went stagnant, and then, of course, to start this year, god awful, 22-38 to start the season. I think we're back to the normal Tigers where, like you said, it was like the pre-COVID Miguel Cabrera kind of teams where like Andy Ibañez and all those guys were, you know, not the best.
No, and that's what's frustrating is because they can be good. We've seen the talent that they have. I mean, they have the
best pitcher in baseball.
Yeah.
It's Scooble.
Yeah, he's hurt right now, but
still.
Yeah. And you know, a pitcher only pitches 5 days a week or one day out of five. So, the hitting has got to get better. I mean, 2-1 last night.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm like, how can you, I don't know. Baseball.
Well, I mean, baseball is a tricky sport. It's hard to make contact, especially with the pitchers nowadays throwing 100-mile-plus an hour. And Scooble is one of them. But to sum up Jeremy's point, the worst Tigers month of May was drastically bad.
Yes.
It was stat here for you, Jeremy. Worst record in a month since 2019, but it gets even worse. And it was their worst month of May since 1996, when they went 6-22 in the month of May.
That's the year I graduated.
Yeah. So that was bad. You've seen yeah, Tigers seen, bad baseball.
Yes.
And this is bad.
I've seen some bad baseball, and yeah, this is... I haven't been watching the last couple of weeks. Yeah. Just because you turn it on and you're like, what are they doing?
Yeah.
And then you turn it on and they're winning, and then all of a sudden they pull a pitcher, and then all of a sudden he gives up a grand slam or a home run and they're losing and they lost, you know? And it's like, I've seen lots of bad baseball over the years, and this is bad.
Yeah. And when the game's done, when you happen to not watch it, you want to just check the score on ESPN or whatever. You check some of these box scores and they're like, it's bad baseball. Like you mentioned, I mean, having the lead last night, for example, 1-0, just a home run by Torque through the first like 6 innings. And then the 7th inning, the Shy Sox, they get 2 runs. And that's when they get out against the Tigers bullpen. Yeah. And then the Tigers offense, from that time Torkelson hit a home run, they can't get any runners to hit home plate.
And that's what's been frustrating the whole year, is because I would have to go back and look, but I know there's probably at least 5 or 6 games that they had the lead going into the 7th, 8th, 9th inning and just blew it.
Yeah.
I would think, I'm guessing that there's probably 5 or 6 right off, you know, that I could think of right off the top of my head, but there's probably more knowing the Tigers.
Well, like I said, in that month of May, which is a pretty hefty stretch, I mean, play baseball every day sometimes 6 games in a day, in a week, I should say, they've lost their last 21 of 25 games.
Yeah.
So they're 4-21 in the last 25. That's uncomprehendable.
No.
It's baseball, like you're mentioning.
That's like high school stuff.
Yeah, that is.
Yeah, that's high school, like...
4-21.
That's like a Division IV high school team that are playing all freshmen, you know.
What the heck? I could pencil in a Sacred Heart baseball win over the Tigers right now.
Well, we were talking right, you know, when you first got here today, we were talking, and the Mud Hens.
Yeah.
We bring the Mud Hens up and play the Tigers and see what happens.
Yeah, and I think the Mud Hens could win.
Yeah, well, and they do have some, you know, they got Carpenter and all of them down
Torres
there.
Yeah, Torres and Baez and all
that. You know, but it's like, come on now. You got to look at management. You got to look at the GM. You got to look at the manager, Kent, with Hinch. And it just, I don't know. It's frustrating to be a Tigers fan right now.
Well, like I said, I could see a Brady Davis or a Gator Seiler for Sacred Heart Baseball, 90-mile-an-hour fastball, or however fast they pitch, going right by Javi Baez, or going right by one of the Tigers hitters.
Baez, though, all you got to do is throw it outside the zone, and he's going to swing at it.
pencil him in for a strikeout right away.
Yeah.
And I'm actually happy that he's on the injured list right now.
Yeah,
yippee!
Yeah, you know? He's one that, I like his fielding. He's decent in the field.
Mago.
Yeah, but it's like, man, you watch him swing the bat, and it's like, what are you swinging at? Like a fly? Or I mean, just my oldest son even said it the one time. He's like, what? Because I was complaining about it, and he watched this next time up at bat, and I didn't say nothing. And he's like, what is he swinging at? And I'm like, that's what we deal with on a daily basis with Baez.
Guess what? We got him another year after this. So
maybe we could trade him with one, you know, because... The word around town right now, as bad as the Tigers are, Scooble's leaving town.
Oh, yeah.
So maybe we could throw in a Javi Baez acquisition with Scooble and maybe get someone that can, like, I don't know.
Get a prospect.
Well the thing is I noticed earlier on in the season, too, about Baez. And I'm not picking on Baez, but he couldn't make the throw from short to first. He was, like, throwing it wild. And I'm like, come on, dude. You're making millions of dollars to throw it from short to first, and he's pulling Torque off the bag.
Yeah.
And,
well, they've also converted him from shortstop to center field.
Like, yeah.
No wonder why his arm's off, because he's used to now playing at center field where he has to, like, just gunsling it.
Yeah.
And then at shortstop, you don't have to gunsling it.
No.
But he does, and he, like, rockets it into Torque.
Well, and he's throwing underhand, and he's throwing sidearm, and I'm like, I don't know. It's just frustrating being a Tigers fan right now.
Certainly is. I mean, we've gone through all the records that we can possibly go through, but the one that sticks out to me is 4-21 in the last 25 games. It's laughable right now.
Yeah.
I understand that they're playing in Tampa Bay right now as we speak. It was a 6:40 first pitch, but yeah. I don't see the Tigers winning another series for a while. I mean, maybe the Shy Sox are actually a good team this year, so I can't even pencil in a series win against them.
That's who they're playing on the 20th.
I know.
Like, I picked the 20th because I was like, oh, they're playing the White Sox. It might be a good game.
Nope.
No. I'm like, dang it, I can't even get a refund because tickets are non-refundable.
Yeah, they're scraping through. I mean, like I mentioned last week, the exciting thing about going to Comerica Park these days is that you get to take your tarp off and just fling it around a little bit and get on TV. So that's why you'd go.
It's bad. I don't know. I remember going to Tiger Stadium and there would only be like maybe 1,200 people there. And in 1996... I went to my first Tigers game with my old boss. He took me, and it was bad. There was only like 1,200 people there, and that was pushing it. They were so bad, and that's where it's like you've seen opening day. That place was packed.
Yeah.
Now you watch a game on TV, and it's like they're pulling teeth to get people to come in, and they're like giving away beer and popcorn. I don't know if they are or not, which would be probably good if they did, because you'd at least get people to come in.
Yeah, exactly.
But there, you see the seats, them high-dollar seats. Do you know them things are air-conditioned and heated?
I did not, no.
Yeah, the seats right behind home plate, those ones that are
the
with the waste people sponsored them.
Yeah.
And they got their own little private entrance and their own bathrooms and all that. They're air-conditioned and heated.
Hey, I wonder how much money they cost.
A lot. I looked it up, and it's crazy amount. But hey, people are sitting in them. I'm gonna try to maybe I could squeeze in there on the 20th.
Yeah, you could squeeze up. They wouldn't care.
No. Well, back when I went to the second game ever at Comerica Park.
Yeah.
It was a night game against the Mariners. 32 degrees at opening pitch.
Yeah.
And it was a night game, and we stayed 7 innings. And we were talking to some of the ushers and stuff because, you know, back in 2000, they were terrible. And so talking to the ushers and everything, and they're like, yeah, we don't care where people sit. And we went to games later on that year, too. And my old boss, there was like 12 or 14 of us that went down there, and he bought tickets for like 10 bucks a piece, left field, upper deck. And we sat out right field on the baseline, out in right field. And the ushers didn't care. They were just happy people were showing up.
Yeah,
and the Red Wings were in the playoff at the time,
so
they would show the score up on the big scoreboard, and then I went ahead and our group, we got a "Let's Go Red Wings" chant going.
There you go,
and that was the best thing that was happening, is because they were showing the score for the Red Wings, and it was just great, you know. But I do love going to the ball game.
Yeah,
but I don't know. I like going to minor league better.
Yeah, it's better to go to the game than watch the game.
Yeah,
I would say.
I agree with you there. And I would rather go to a minor league.
Yeah, I mean, like, you've been to a couple of Great Lakes Loons games.
Oh, I've gone to a bunch of Loons games.
Sure.
I've never been to Lansing. Never been down to a Lugnuts game. But I just love going over to the Great Lakes Loons.
Yeah.
Just because it's easy to get in there, easy to get out. Yes, they got construction going on over in Midland now, like every other city in the state of Michigan's got construction going on. I always say we got four seasons, right?
Yeah.
So you got spring, winter, fall, and construction.
Construction, wouldn't that be year-round, or would that be substitute summer?
Yeah, you just substitute summer for construction. Because construction you can't really do in the wintertime because it gets like negative 50 here. But
well, you never know. Some people could tolerate that. But
yeah.
Hey, you know, you mentioned going back to 2000 where there was only like 1,000 fans, or now there's only 1,000 fans at Comerica Park, the old Comerica Park, the old Tiger Stadium.
Uh-huh.
There's probably more fans at a DeWitt football game, in a Friday night football game, than there is in the Tiger Stadium now these days.
Yeah, it's bad. How do you just like... If you're Chris Illich, and I know you're looking at that, but we can keep going.
Yeah.
You look at Chris Illich now. What do you think he should do? You just go ahead and fire everybody?
Well, who's everybody?
Like, you got to start at the GM.
It starts from the top.
Yeah, you got to start at the top down. So maybe maybe Ilitch's brother or sister needs to take over the team and
that's just the thing. They can't fire Scott Harris. The firing is a lot different than in the sports world than just in a normal industry world, because there's so many big contracts that you look at a Tigers player like a Javi Baez who's making like 150 mil or whatever, or Colt Keith or Kevin McGonigal. Well, the owners are making a lot even more than that. So you're not going to be able to fire anybody of those without, because they want their money. It's all about the money these days.
Yep.
And Scott Harris is not going to want to be fired. It's not his choice, obviously.
No.
But he's doing the best he can, I think. Hinch, I don't think, is doing the best he can anymore, especially after last night, taking Cader Montero out after 65 pitches or whatever, however many was.
Yeah, it's
He's a good manager, but he's not a good manager when half the team's injured.
Yeah, no.
Because he's all about analytics and logistics.
Yeah, and the guys that he's got all the analytics for are playing in AAA right now.
Yeah, well... Yeah, I know.
I think he just needs to go back to the basics.
Yeah, they had Carpenter.
Small ball. Back to small ball. Bunt. Yeah, you know.
Just get on base like Guardians.
Well, the other day I was watching the game and a leadoff double, no outs, and guess what?
They don't score.
He was still on second.
Yeah, they don't score.
So why, your next batter up, why wouldn't you have him bunt him over to third?
Yeah, and then a sacrifice fly.
Yeah.
Anything hit to the outfield or anything hit in the ground would score that runner.
Yeah, and no, but he stood on second for three outs after a leadoff double. I'm like, I don't know, it's frustrating.
You work so hard as a hitter to get on base, especially like a double like that.
Yeah.
You know, you need those productive outs where you can put it on the ground on the opposite way so the runner can go over to third.
Yeah.
Or put it in the air and tag up or whatever.
No.
Because these guys aren't hitting singles. They can't hit the ball for nothing.
No. So. It's bad, but hey, at least we got Mr. Trav Moore to talk about coming up.
I know, Trav Moore, he elite
fire
quarterback.
Up chips.
Fire up chips. Chips is correct. He's coming to CMU this fall, and he was one of the better quarterbacks in the state of Michigan. Not only D3, but that's why he's coming to CMU, transitioning from a quarterback to a running back for Coach Drinkle and the Chippewas, and he'll detail that all coming up next on the Buck 92.3 Sports Show. Sponsored by the Saginaw Chippewa Indian Tribe, working together for our future.
Stay right there. More local sports talk is coming up as the Buck 92.3 Sports Show continues, right here on Buck 92.3 and Buck92.com.
With traditions and belief deeply rooted into cultural history, the Saginaw Chippewa Indian Tribe is proud to present one of our seven grandfather teachings in what it means to be a Chippewa. Love. To live our lives with love is to understand our capacity to realize, empathize, and nurture the needs of others. This message and what it means to be a Chippewa is brought to you by the Saginaw Chippewa Indian Tribe, working together for our future.
With the Buck 92.3 Sports Show, Central Michigan's award-winning sports coverage, with sports director Austin Shattuck and JW. Let's get back to it.
Welcome back into the Buck 92.3 Sports Show. Austin Shattuck, your sports director here, joined alongside me as always, JW in the Morning, Jeremy Wood, and special guest on this week's show, one of the best Division III quarterbacks in the state of Michigan, Mr. Trav Moore. How you doing today, Trav?
Good. How are you guys?
Doing wonderful.
Good to have you on our show, and good to have you up here in good old Mount Pleasant.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
You're coming up to Mount Pleasant this fall, starting your four-year career here at CMU with Coach Drinkle and company. But before we get into CMU, let's start with your high school career first. Your senior season, your last season, of course, most recent at QB for Coach Zimmerman. You know, everybody knows Coach Zimmerman has produced a lot of college talent, you being one of them. What has been maybe the best experience of working under Coach Zimmerman in high school?
Yeah, I think just the relationships that Coach Zim builds. I mean, you can be the best player on the team, and you can be a guy that maybe doesn't see the field as much, and you're still going to have the same relationship with him. So I think that's the biggest thing I've taken away from my high school experience with Coach Zim, just the relationship he's built with me. Still to this day, I talk to him almost every week, and he's coming to watch some spring practices up here. So definitely the relationship that I've built with Coach Zim.
Yeah, it sounds like he's not only turned you into a great athlete on the gridiron, but also a great human being 100%. As well up here in Mount Pleasant. So during that regular season with you and your squad and Coach Zimmerman, you played many tough teams, getting to the Central State Activities Conference Championship game, winning that as well. Why was your team so effective on that offensive side of the ball?
Two main reasons. One being just Coach Zim and every team that he has, he's super specific and super detailed and works his butt off just to build around the athletes that he has and the guys on a team and their strengths. So I think that's a huge part of success for not just our team, but all the teams in the past, as Coach Zim is so specific with the athletes that he has and builds around them. And then two, I think we had so many seniors on that team, so many guys that were super close, not only on the field, but off the field too. So just having that bond off the field just kind of bled into on the field. And when we got into tough situations, we were able to lean on each other and kind of work our way out. So,
yeah, it sounds like the upperclassmen leadership, especially you as a senior, with a lot of your guys kind of mentored the underclassmen and are gearing up for another football season this coming up fall for not only Coach Zimmerman, but for you with Coach Drinkle and moving on to Central Michigan. But shifting our focus to the postseason of last year, your offense scored 70 points twice against Owosso and Fenton. Mm-hmm. Plus, you guys shut out Linden 35-0. Is this kind of when you and your squad realized that there could be a deep tournament run going up to Ford Field?
Yeah, I think we kind of starting, you know, my previous season, my junior season, when we took a tough loss to Zeeland West in the semifinals, that kind of struck a lot of us with a certain taste in our mouth that we weren't going to forget. The grade above us, we were super close with them too. So going out on a tough loss like that, we were undefeated going into that game, left kind of a taste in our mouth that we definitely didn't like. When we got to the summer and the winter workouts and stuff like that, that was kind of our mentality and our thought process was that we're getting right back to that game and we're making a state championship. So I wouldn't even say it started just in the postseason, but started way before the season. You know,
it started the end of last season, you 100%. Know, the previous season when you took the loss there. So, yeah, that's the way to do it is, you know, you take a tough loss like that, build on it, and then, you know, move forward from it.
Yeah, for sure. Especially when you got a lot of guys that, you know, respect the game, respect Coach Zim, have a certain drive and work ethic. There's so many guys on that team that just worked their butts off to, you know, maybe didn't see a lot of playing time junior year, but came senior year and started playing. So just a lot of guys that worked their butts off.
Yeah, it sounds like from what you've been saying this whole show, Coach Zimmerman has really respected you guys. It's 100%. A two-way mutual respect between your team and Coach Zimmerman on the field. And after beating that powerhouse De La Salle team in the semis, that set up a date with Mount Pleasant, our hometown team. I got to cover that game way up in the press box, about probably the eighth floor up down in Ford Field on that Thanksgiving weekend. What was your kind of expectations heading into that state championship with the Oilers?
Obviously, I think everybody going into a game like that is expecting to come out with a win. That was just everybody on the team. That was their thought process, and there was nothing else. Everybody was confident going into that game. We knew we'd prepared. We knew we put in the work not only during the season, but before the season even started. We all trusted each other and trusted Coach Zim and not only Coach Zim, but our defensive coaches, Coach Haskell. They kind of put us up in a position to where we were comfortable and we expected to go in and win a state championship.
And you guys certainly did, man. You guys scored pretty early and often. I believe it was like three touchdowns and a couple by you in that first quarter. Take us through that first quarter and your first couple of possessions.
Yeah, we just wanted to come out guns a-blazing, honestly. We want to come out playing as fast and as physical as possible. Obviously, Mount Pleasant, they're a super physical team, and we knew that going into it, it was going to be a battle. And so we want to come out, you know, as fast as possible. And I think we started out super fast, and as the game went on, I think in the second half, we started to get a little slow. Mount Pleasant started to take over a little bit in that third and fourth quarter. I think we played pretty fast and physical most of the game.
Yeah, and your counterpart, Xavier Crazier for the Mount Pleasant Oilers, the quarterback for Mount Pleasant, he had a fantastic game, especially in that second half where he had set that 90-yard rushing touchdown. Yep. That was a championship record for that game. But you also set a record, too. Many people probably up here in the Isabella County area don't know about that record that you set, but a lot of people close to you probably do.
Yeah.
How were you able to set that record in that game?
Well, first of all, props to the Mount Pleasant quarterback. That's, you know, a super impressive stat to have, and he should be, you know, proud of that and what he accomplished in that game. I had a fantastic O-line that was second to none. I would say they're best in the state. Those guys were all seniors, have played together since we were in fourth grade. So they had a connection that not a lot of other O-line groups have, I think. Just they're all friends off the field. Like I said, all of us are. But when they got on the field, they just complement each other super well. They kind of just know what each other's going through each other's minds.
Well, they know what you know your job and you're going to do it. Yep. And that's the best part about it.
Yeah, they trust each other. And one person might step into a wrong gap, but the other person's right there to make him right. And so I think that led to the success I had. Even the guys on the outside at DeWitt were super big on perimeter blocking. So even the guys on the outside are phenomenal in blocking. That's something we work on huge at DeWitt. And then just the guys up front, those guys are the best O-line group in the state of Michigan.
Yeah, and that's something good to hear. When a D1 quarterback now at the college level, Trav Moore, giving compliments to Xavier Crazier, the Mount Pleasant quarterback, on his impressive, I guess, stat line in that state championship
game. Both of you had incredible stat lines 100%. For that game.
100%.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a quarterback show, and like you said, the offensive line chipped in for both teams as well. Yep. Defenses were a little non-existent to start, but they picked up, especially on your squad, in that second half as well. We'll be right back on the Buck 92.3 Sports Show, sponsored by the Saginaw Chippewa Indian Tribe, working together for our future.
The best sports show in Central Michigan, the Buck 92.3 Sports Show on Buck 92.3, where country legends live, and streaming at buck92.com, continues next in just minutes.
With traditions and beliefs deeply rooted into cultural history, the Saginaw Chippewa Indian Tribe of Michigan is proud to present one of our 7 grandfather teachings as a part of the celebration of Native American Heritage Month. Truth. To live in truth is to recognize the differences between right and wrong and be faithful to ourselves as well as to the world around us, even when the right way is not always the easiest way. This message is brought to you by the Saginaw Chippewa Indian Tribe of Michigan, working together for our future.
Welcome back to the Buck 92.3 Sports Show, streaming on Buck 92.3 and buck92.com. Hosted by sports director Austin Shattuck and JW, let's dive back into Central Michigan sports.
As promised, here's more of the Buck 92.3 Sports Show, brought to you by the Saginaw Chippewa Indian Tribe, working together for our future. I guess moving on to your future now with the Chippewas, you committed to Central Michigan last March, I believe it was, with over 6 different schools. We were talking before we went on air, which some of those schools were. What kind of went into your decision of bringing your game up to Mount Pleasant?
Yeah, obviously one, it was close to home. That was kind of important. I have a lot of family still around this area, so being close to home was kind of big for me. First time I got to meet Coach Drinkle, he kind of reminded me a lot of Coach Zim and just the way that he approached the game and approached not only growing guys on the field but off the field as well as young men. That stood out to me, and that definitely got me intrigued in the program and came up for a couple spring games. Got to meet, you know, the old running backs coach that's now at Penn State to be an assistant running backs coach, Coach Crony. He was super big, kind of just inspiration for me. I got on the phone with him the first time, and we didn't even talk about football for almost the whole phone call. It was just about our personal lives, and so that stood out to me. And
getting
that,
to know you.
Yeah, that was kind of the turning point for me, that this is a place I wanted to be. And then after being up at spring practices and just different coaches coming over to me and meeting me and talking with me, that was kind of the ultimate turning point, is when I want to commit here.
Yeah, maybe another decision too is Tommy McIntosh and Matthew Neff, you know, both playing for DeWitt.
Yep.
Now all 3 of you playing at CMU. What was it kind of like reuniting with your cronies there?
Yeah, so Matt was a senior when I was a freshman. So he kind of was a mentor for me my freshman year when I played varsity. Took me to practices and workouts and whatever it was off the field, like going to get food with me. So he was a super big mentor for me there. And now as I've gotten up here, he's been the same way, taking me, you know, to practices or whatever, food. So that's been...
Just making sure you're taken care of.
Yeah, that's been... I kind of knew that would happen just because it was the same way my freshman year. And Matt's a super good guy, so I appreciate him a lot for that. And then obviously Tommy, just knew him. A lot of friends that had older brothers that played football. Ty Holtz, who played quarterback at DeWitt. His younger brother's in my grade, so kind of knew Tommy through a bunch of friends. And then Tommy's a super good guy too, always reaching out and asking if I need help. And so glad to have those guys with me.
Yeah, and that kind of goes back to our earlier conversation about Coach Zimmerman producing that college level talent, not just you, Tommy McIntosh, you know, Matthew, and of course, somebody who probably won't get recognized, at least not anymore here for Central Michigan, is Daniel Moa.
Yep.
I mean, Coach Zimmerman, he didn't produce him on the gridiron, but man, my roommate Daniel, he was always involved when being up here with our 4 years. He was always involved with that Central Michigan football team. He was through it with McIlwain and then Coach Drinkle, of course. He one of the best equipment managers I've ever seen.
100%. He's the best you'll ever find. He takes a lot of pride in what he does. And that just speaks volumes to the kind of guy that he is.
Yeah, it's not just on the football field, Jeremy. Nope. It's on, you know, the equipment managers too, chipping in as well.
You got to take care of the guys that take care of you. 100%. So, you know,
100%.
You know, if you don't have equipment, you can't play.
Nope.
You know, so.
Not at all.
Yeah, no pads, no helmets, no playing. Well, shout out to Daniel Moa, man. Yeah, gotta give his shout outs. Quarterback in high school, now coming up to Central. You mentioned earlier that you're switching to a running back. What has that transition been like?
Yeah, I would say it's been kind of a smooth transition just with the people that are up at Central. My new running backs coach, Coach Walker, he's been a super good guy, a good mentor for me, being able to go to his room and just take away and kind of pick at his brain just different things about the running back position. Just kind of our schemes and what we run. So being able to have guys up there that are able to mentor me specifically at the running back position has been super helpful.
Yeah, and we hope to have Brock Townsend on in our show probably a little bit later.
It's another guy who's been a mentor for me and has helped me along.
Yeah, and speaking of, you know, running backs this year, last year's running backs, Nauri Biggins, of course. He was a great running back. I believe he's going to be trying to out for the draft.
He is,
okay.
He's had his pro day not too long ago.
Yeah, just, a couple weeks ago. Yeah, something last week. They had, 17 or something?
I think it was, 14
or
17,
something.
Like
I knew it was up over, you know, it was more than 10. Yep. So, and I know there was quite a few teams there that were looking at everyone too. So that's pretty neat.
It is.
Now,
super cool.
did you get to go in and watch the pro day?
Yep. We got to go out there and support those guys. That was just cool to see that happen. And I mean, growing up, you always hope to play in the NFL. So to see that at, you know, the college that you're playing at, it's definitely an inspiration and just makes you want to work that much harder.
Yeah, it's got to be pretty cool, too, to be able to see, you know, the pro days and all that.
Yeah, and I'm really hoping a lot of them get to the draft. I'm hoping all of them because, you know, I go to CMU here. But, man, one guy really important to me that throughout these 4 years, Jordan Kwiatkowski, man, I hope he makes the league.
I hope he does, too. Not only him, but all the guys, like you said. But he's a super good guy, definitely a talented athlete, so.
He sounds kind of like a Dan Campbell type of guy for the Lions. He's just always pursuing as a linebacker, right to, you know, you as a quarterback, right to that quarterback, right to that running back. He's just, you know, beefy up front, and he can just get right to the quarterback and tackle him in the backfield. He was just a great player to watch at Kelly Short Stadium the last couple of years, and hopefully he takes his talent to whatever NFL team can draft him in the later rounds.
100%.
CMU had a great first year under head coach Matt Drinkle, getting back to Ford Field, Big Ten opponent against Northwestern in that bowl game.
Yep.
How can you guys kind of repeat that success coming up this fall?
Yeah, obviously we have a lot of new guys on the team this year. Brought in, you know, quite a few early enrollees and then quite a few transfers as well, too. So just throughout the offseason, we've only grown in our connection, definitely on the offensive side of the ball. I can speak for that. We're not really around the defense a whole bunch right now, but just on the offensive side of the ball, we've became a lot closer. A lot of guys stepping up, becoming leaders, and obviously with Joe leaving and just some other guys, you know, it leaves for open leadership spots. So a lot of older guys stepping up and leading not only off the field but on the field, and I think that's going to be a big, you know, role for us as to have some guys step up in that leadership position.
Hey, I got a question for you.
Yeah.
Your NIL deal.
Yeah.
Let's talk about it.
Yeah.
You don't have to go into details, but hey, I'm giving you the opportunity to promote it, you know?
Yeah. It's with an app called Influencer. It's been an app that a lot of guys use just for kind of shirts, a lot of apparel, sweatshirts, shirts, water bottles, you name it, they got it. It's an app called Influencer. You get on there and type in any athlete's name and it brings up kind of a website for you to go on and buy stuff from. So
that's pretty cool.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, it's pretty neat.
Yeah, free advertising, I guess, on the Buck 92.3 Sports Show. Influencer.
Hey, we appreciate you coming in and giving us your time and interviewing.
Appreciate
so, hey,
guys.
I got to give you, you know, a little bit of return.
I appreciate you guys.
So, you know, it goes both ways.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, one of the best Division III state championship players here in the last couple of seasons, not only for Coach Zimmerman, but now for Coach Drinkle. Trav, we really appreciate the time today.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys having me.
Thanks, Trav. And good luck on the season. Yes, and whether you get to play the whole season or you redshirt, it's all up in the air, right?
100%.
Good luck on the season. And hopefully we can get you back in here again at some other time and do another interview.
Yes, sir. For sure. I appreciate you guys.
You've been listening to the Buck 92.3 Sports Show, your award-winning home for Central Michigan sports coverage. Thanks for joining JW and Sports Director Austin Shattuck as we break down the games, the players, and the stories that make local sports special.
Missed part of the show? No problem. You can listen to this show and past shows at MyMichiganPodcast.com. Just click on the Buck 92.3 Sports Show.
Join us every Monday evening at 7 right here on Buck 92.3, where country legends live, and streaming worldwide at Buck92.com for the Buck 92.3 Sports Show.